Greetings to anyone listening to this recording. I'm Rob Christie. I've been involved in personal growth and transformation for decades. During that journey, I've had the privilege of working with a number of great teachers, and I'm with one of them this morning. His name is Jim Hamilton. He's the author of 5 books, the creator of several powerful processes that will support anyone who wishes to make a meaningful change in his or her life. We want to talk to a specific audience today. Do you consider yourself successful? Using whatever definition success may have for you. We'd like to provide you this morning with at least one nugget, maybe more than one, that will allow you to take the next step up the ladder. In our experience, successful people reach a point where they've achieved, perhaps material success, business success, relationship success, some combination of those, or even other elements. And we find they get to the point where they say, how can I contribute more to the people in my life, my employees, my family, the rest of humanity? Jim has a couple of processes, and I'd like him to focus on one of them for a moment, and that is a mind-boggling statement he made the day we met, and that is, I've discovered a way to accelerate the benefits of meditation. Having meditated for decades, that got my attention immediately. I insisted Jim sell me one of his books on the spot. Jim, tell us how, through the use of neurofeedback, you figured out a way to accelerate the benefits of meditation.
All right, Rob, good to be here. Good to have conversation and people listening in, and maybe they'll add comments and throw us some questions of their own. So myself, I have almost 50 years background in meditation now. I started in November of 1973. I went easily 10 years before I ever took my first break, which actually was America's Cup summer in Newport, Rhode Island, when the Australians beat the Americans for the first time in 132 years or something like that. And I learned early on as a meditator that once I started moving out of the mind, because that's what the game of meditation is not to push the mind away, but to just to quiet down and actually allow the mind all of its noise and all of its racket until the mind finally quiets down on its own, which might take a couple of years to really become proficient at, but it's all part of. A few years into meditation, I came to realize that meditation is like learning how to listen with the nervous system. I'm out of my mind. I'm quiet. I'm in this state of peace. I'm in this state of, I wouldn't even call it contemplation. It's the idea is to move out of the mind. And what I came to realize is that meditation is like listening with the nervous system. And I realized that the nervous system came to understand it as our center. And one of the things I talk about is the nervous system is made out of neurons, and neurons have far more microtubules than other kinds of cells. And the microtubules are the listening points of the body, listening to the governance of the order that everything shares. And so Meditation is about quieting the nervous system, quieting the mind, so that the nervous system, so you become aware of the nervous system doing its sensing. If nothing else, when you look out through your eyes, you're sensing out with your eyes with vision and you're receiving back data. When you listen, you're listening with the ears and you're receiving back data that goes into the brain, which is just a nodule of the nervous system. So, meditation becomes first an understanding that our nervous system is our center. And so I've worked with several interesting people, actually three physicists. The middle one introduced me to neurofeedback. This would have been 2006, 2007. I sold $1 million worth of neurofeedback for that guy in a period of 14 months based on two ideas in my first book. But what happened was I came to see that we could quiet the nervous system, quiet the mind, if you will. Well, obviously different things, but we could quiet the human mechanism with neurofeedback much quicker than we could with meditation. And I'm not making one better than the other. Maybe we'll touch on that a little bit. But what came of this whole thing was I ended up breaking away from this guy because he was a little on the crazy side. He was really interested in data. He was more than however much he was charging and taking care of customers. He was really more interested in collecting data. So I broke away from him and I did one of the soccer teams in Mexico and whatever. But I developed my own understanding of neurofeedback and I really broke away from the rules of neurofeedback altogether. And I learned how to let the brain discover itself through the hardware software, through the neurofeedback gear, rather than somebody with a lab coat and a clipboard doing a brain map and deciding the parts of the brain that were out of balance, which is really a typical deal, and using protocols or exercises to kind of push the brain back in the order so that it's balanced between the different hemispheres, between the different parts of the brain. I learned how to let the brain find itself through the hardware software, let the brain clean itself up itself. Kind of like a variation on defragging a hard drive, except the brain is intelligent. And when you give it the opportunity to discover itself, it will revise all of its old traumas, held traumas, and start to clear that up. And as it does, the brain quiets down. And as the brain quiets down, that noise from all that overload, the brain being an overload, diminishes, and as that diminishes, our natural state of connection with source naturally becomes enabled. So you might say that resistance and consciousness are inverse because when we're in overload, so when the brain's in overload, that's what causes the mind to shut down incoming information. That's where resistance and rigidity come from. The mind is like a guard dog for a brain on overload. It's the actual overload of the brain that's the actual problem. So because I can go in there with core resin, it's my variation on neurofeedback, and it is technically neurofeedback. It's just nobody uses it the way I do. Very few people, very few, 5% of the world out there. And algorithms is not part of it at all. But what we've learned how to do is we learned how to quiet the nervous system through core resins, proprietary neurofeedback used entirely differently. As the brain quiets down, the nervous system quiets down. As the nervous system quiets down, that natural state of connection with source naturally becomes enabled. And what happens then is the mind recognizes that connection and will sub, sorry, I say submit, that's not the word I use, will relent to that connection. So the big problem with all of this consciousness work is how to put the mind aside ultimately. Initially, you want to use it to its greatest capacity, but ultimately you want to let go of it. And so by building our connection with source, by quieting the nervous system, the mind will relent to that connection. And that's how you really start moving into consciousness. Because in quieting the nervous system, enabling that natural state of connection with source, the first thing it shows up is guidance. And guidance then drives your life, for which the concept of cause and effect and law of attraction, all that stuff become very, very, very powerfully evident. And there's a much bigger game. And when we move out of the mind and move into this access to guidance, the whole thing opens up like, well, at the very least, we become exponential. massively exponential in our contribution for whatever it is we're doing, because partnered with Source, big, big, big deal. It's available. It's becoming available now on the planet.
As people go through your process in quiet, quiet their minds, what kinds of new life experiences have you observed clients having as a result of so doing?
Well, the first thing that happens, you know, there's a number of things that come to mind, but the first thing that happens is resistance drops. Again, as we clean up, as we give the brain exercises, let the, and by the way, there's no programming in core resonance. We let the brain discover itself through the hardware, software. The brain reorganizes itself. As the brain reorganizes itself, the overload diminishes, allowing becomes greater, and therefore resistance drops. I think of a particular woman who was seeing me a long time ago. And she, in fact, I ended up dropping her. She would not give up the hate she had for her ex-husband. She wasn't willing to do it. I mean, it was right there in front of her to do, and she just wouldn't. I finally said, adios. Why would I sit there and spin my wheels with somebody that was knew that she could, but preferred to hate? But my point is, she's attractive, and she had, you know, she's got a kid by herself, and he left and whatever, and of all things, she's a hypnotherapist. Scary, just scary. But I remember she was in my office, and her second. So one of the things she wanted to do was she was ready to start dating. This is what this was all about, I guess. And I don't know if it was her first. I think it was her second date. The guy canceled on her with a text message, and that text message came in while she was in the office with me. And she remarked later that normally she would have gone bonkers in overload on that. She would have been all over his case. And that's a simple, extreme example of how resistance fades with core resonance. And so as we start given the brain exercises, as we allow the brain to discover itself through the hardware, software, as the brain starts to reorganize itself, it starts to have more processing power, more allowing becomes available. And so I created the term synchronicity, harmony, and order a very long time ago. And that's what we would document. By the way, so when you do core resonance and you start, what we do is we give the mind a job of looking for newfound. In other words, we give the mind, we're working with the brain, but we give the mind a job of looking for and documenting newfound synchronicity, harmony, and order, which, by the way, happens to be an affirmation. In fact, you can always, by looking for what's good in your life in every moment, that becomes an affirmation. That's what I call a witness. We've, in some of our series, we've talked about the power of witness, which is identifying an affirmation that you now see in your reality creating. So it takes the affirmation to another level. But synchronicity, harmony, and order is one of the big things that comes from quieting the nervous system, enabling our natural state of connection with source. And the evidence of that is, again, I call it synchronicity, harmony, and order. And so, again, as that shows up, allowing becomes easier. It's hard to allow when you just, I don't know what a good example is. You know, you told your boss to go so-and-so or so-and-so, and then the next day you got to go to work to get fired. It's hard to allow when we create all these disruptions in our life. So as we move to synchronicity, harmony, and order, allowing becomes easier. And that's the path. That's the beginning of the path.
Let's suppose you're an entrepreneur and you're working with Jim Hamilton on the tool we've been discussing. How might that show up in a positive way with respect to your relationships with your employees and how you treat them?
Well, Rob, it's a great question, because the ultimate way to use core resonance is as a colony. And a colony is six people sharing the ownership of the gear. I don't really do sessions with individuals. That's very time consuming. I don't have time for that. I have done that and it's very rewarding, but it's really time consuming and it's really not my focus. My focus is colonies, which is six people buying and sharing the use of the gear, which they all have to be local to it. So a perfect example is when an organization, a green organization or an NGO or your alternative companies where it's entrepreneurial based, you put core residents in that organization and you take your top six people. And it might be your secretary might be one of those because the coherence in the order is. So what we do is we give people exercises so that their brain quiets down, they become internally coherent. And as the nervous system quiets down, they become coherent, then they become resonant with each other. That's huge, just all by itself. So think about having an organization and your top salespeople and the owner and the CEO and maybe the CFO and maybe the, like the personal assistant to the owner of the company are all becoming coherent. And by the way, you do the sessions individually and you can depends on how often you do them. I usually spend about an hour and a half on this a day, but it is so much bigger than what you can accomplish with meditation, because in quieting the nervous system, not only do you enable your natural state of connection with source, it becomes you and you become resonant with it. And that then becomes an internal governance within the organization. So I actually call that taproot by core resonance. That's a colony is six people sharing the ownership of the core resonance neural feedback for grounding the frequency of the God into the world for the purposes of world peace, and like the Maharishi effect, model the Maharishi effect. The same technology called Taproot by Core Resonance is meant to be used at the foundation of entrepreneurial organizations and peace groups and different kinds of groups where they want the center of their organization to be coherent. Because when they become coherent, they now have a different kind of a governance instead of one of the important people coming in with a hangover once a week or fighting with a girlfriend or whatever it is. They come in coherent, and you need that center of your organization to be coherent. We now have a way to do that. It's huge. It's just huge.
It seems if the owner of a company made a personal commitment and enrolled five of his top people, creating a group of six, that there would be a profound trickle effect in that organization from that commitment.
Well, it's not a trickle effect. It's a lot more than that. It's a lot more. I'll get the analogy I would like to use is, okay, we've talked about the map of consciousness in these different series. And the map of consciousness is interesting because it's a scale of 0 to 1,000, 0 to under 200 states of apathy, fear, grief, anxiety, rage, whatever, up through pride at 175. I'll put the map up. 200 is labeled courage. And from courage, you start moving into gradients of allowing, because there isn't much allowing at pride or anger or resentment or grief. But as you move into courage, allowing starts to grow and you move up the map into neutrality. I think I have my thing right here. Neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, enlightenment. But the point is, as we quiet the nervous system with core resonance, as we quiet the overload, the allowing grows much faster than a lifetime. Dr. David Hawkins says people bump 2 points in a lifetime. Core resonance can bump people toward 200 points in a couple of years because we can dramatically drop the internal resistance, and resistance and consciousness are inverse. So because we can allow the brain to discover itself through the hardware software and the brain reorganize itself and quiet down, resistance drops very, very, very quickly. And so consciousness goes up. So we can bump people from, say, 350 to 550 or 450 to 600 or 650. And the point becomes one person at 600 on the map counterbalances the negativity of 10 million people. So When you have core resonance at the foundation of your organization, it's not a trickle effect with the rest of your organization at all. And it's not like you're the Wizard of Oz and you're a group of six that walks around strutting around because you're hot stuff. You move out of the mind, you move into guidance. The organization then becomes kind of guidance driven. It's kind of hard to understand, but synchronicity, harmony, and order is what it all looks like. And you have a massive influence on others. So as you become coherent within, which is a product of quieting the, and why is the brain on overload in the first place? Because we're out of our natural state of connection with source. We don't have access to guidance. Therefore, the brain's manually doing everything. It was never designed for that. That's where the overload comes from in the first place. So as we quiet the brain, quell the overload by the brain reorganizing itself through the use of the hardware software, because it can see itself like a technology mirror. As the brain quiets down, our natural state of connection with source becomes enabled, guidance shows up, and the more that the overload diminishes, the more you move up the map. I say that we can bump people towards 700 on the map. One person at 700 counterbalances a negativity of 70 million people. What would a group of six, like a portal of six people with their minds way, 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 way diminished, their connection with source way, way, way enabled. That's a portal for grounding the frequency of God into the world as coherence. Coherence dissipates distortion. If you really wanted to understand this better, you'd understand, learn about the Maharishi effect, because they demonstrated that for 30 years. We're doing the Maharishi effect on steroids with core resonance, and parking core resonance as taproot. What I call it, taproot for whatever I was calling it a few minutes ago. It's funny. Taproot for core resonance. Taproot. Anyway, as we ground the concept of core resonance colonies inside an organization, we can have a massive influence on that organization by causing it to become coherent. We then, by the way, choose better quality customers. We make better choices as an organization. And the whole thing really starts to change. And business is a really powerful place to try to make a difference in the world, or a very powerful place as a basis or a base for change in the world, making it easier for the whales and the bumblebees and the rest of them.
As a fellow meditator, I think of meditation as a lifelong commitment. And over the decades, the changes that I was able to, at least that I thought I was able to attribute to my meditation practice, as a rule, tended to take a long, long time. And what you've shared with me and in our audience is that the technology you're sharing with us today in a business organization is the example we've been using. Doesn't necessarily take a long time. Am I reading you correctly on that one?
Yeah, that's actually the whole point. Because we can rapidly quiet, see what meditation about is about quieting the nervous system. But to do that, you have to first move out of the mind, because the mind's in the way. And the mind is not that fancy of a tool once you understand access to guidance. In fact, the mind is really a crappy two-dimensional polar linear tool that is limited to what it already knows as it projects out. It's not a very good tool at all. And so once you learn how to access guidance, the whole thing opens up. But the way we do that is by rapidly quelling the overload by letting the brain, which the brain is intelligent, might be a serial processor, but it's intelligent. And as it sees the opportunity to organize itself so that it can become more efficient, it will do that. And so, and curiously, the guy that introduced meditation to the Western world, Maharishi, is the guy that introduced the Maharishi effect. And the Maharishi effect and core resonance have a massive amount in common, because in quieting the nervous system and enabling our natural state of connection with source, we can see results. The Maharishi effect, 1993, they did this for 30 years, demonstrations for 30 years. 4,000 meditators, experienced meditators, came into Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. was one of the crime capitals of the planet, certainly the U.S. Rape, mayhem, murder, on and on and on, and over a 7-week period. And they invited criminologists and sociologists and all kinds of academics to observe, and they told them how they were going to score and what they were going to do, what they expected to see. And over a 7-week period, crime dropped 23.3%. And then 30 years later, very accidentally, I was preparing a slide presentation, and I discovered that Washington, D.C. now, this is only a couple of years ago, maybe it was 19, no, it had to have been only a couple of years ago. Washington, D.C. is one of the 7 safest cities on the planet. Now, so the Maharishi effect was demonstrated in D.C. in 1993, and 30 years later, it's one of the 7 safest cities on the planet. So meditation is really powerful, but core resonance does the same thing so much faster. And because I have a massive background in meditation myself, I understand what a lifetime of meditation is. And nowadays, we can go way past that. And the business environment is the ideal place. Taproot by Core Resonance, that's what it's called. And it's the same thing as Core Resonance Colonies, just a different application. And it's really an exciting place to play. We need to learn how to quiet the nervous system, enable a natural state of connection with source, learn how to plug in, learn how to let it express through us for what I call the ride of a lifetime.